Please turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and I'd like to read verses 7 through 15. Philippians 3, 7 and following. Hear God's word. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Good and gracious you are to us. We pray that you'd be pleased to bless and help us in a good understanding of your word and the application of it to our lives. We pray in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The text is verses 14 and 15 in Philippians 3. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. Guns are in the news. Guns are in the news because of recent school shootings. Guns are also in the news because of the legislation before Congress in Washington. But guns are not the problem. People are the problem. People having a bad attitude. Individuals who have evil attitudes and evil inclinations aim to kill. People who have good attitudes and proper godly inclinations aim to do good. Paul draws out this contrast in attitudes in our text this morning. And there's a warning here. There's a warning for you and for me to check our hearts and to check our attitudes and to check that for which we are aiming in life. And Paul says to you and says to me, aim for Christ in all that you do. Make knowing Christ your aim. This was the aim of his life, and he wants it to be the aim of your life. And so make knowing Christ your aim. Paul had some background and some baggage that he brought to this idea that we're seeing this morning. And we see a little bit of this baggage in the context. Look at verses 7 and following with me. Paul says, "Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Moreover than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, so that I may gain Christ." Self-righteousness was Paul's aim at one point, but then he was converted. And now his aim becomes knowing Jesus Christ. He counts all that was past as rubbish. And his desire now is to be found in Christ. Verse 9, "that I may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, a righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead." Paul's life was pointed in the direction of the resurrection of the dead coming, when Christ would come a second time in glory and the dead would be raised incorruptible and Paul would be raised and he would know Christ as resurrected. And he says, I haven't achieved that yet. I haven't obtained that yet. And then comes the burden of our text. Knowing Christ should be the goal and the aim of life. Look at Paul again in verse 14. "I press toward the goal." The word goal has as its background running a race and the finish line, or shooting in archery and aiming at the target. And the runner focuses on the finish line, or the archer focuses on the target, and the runner particularly strains forward to reach the finish line. And you know as well as I do that at the end of the 100-meter dash, it's chest forward, pushing, straining to get to the finish line. And so Paul says, I press toward that goal. And the word press is very strong here. It's the very same word that in other places is translated persecute. Paul used to persecute Christians. He would press Christians to the nth degree and chase them to jail them and kill them. And now the aim is different. I press toward a different goal. I have a different finish line. My aim is different, Paul says. I press toward the prize. The prize of life. You see, this goal of knowing Jesus Christ is the great prize of life. Look again at our text. I press toward the goal for the prize. And in the race, the prize was an earthly crown or an earthly wreath. But in the race of life, passing through the resurrection, the great prize is knowing Christ in the resurrection. What the Puritans used to call the beatific vision of basking in the resurrected state, in the bodily form, of basking in the radiance of the glory of Jesus Christ, washed with His love, saturated with His grace, the great prize of knowing Christ. This is Paul's aim. See, the prize is not being the pastor of a big congregation so that when the service is over, the members of the congregation can say, "What a great job you've done, Pastor." Or the prize is not being a great athlete so that in basketball, for instance, you get to cut down the net and pictures are taken of you taking down the net. No. The great prize is knowing Christ and bowing before Christ in glory and receiving His favor. That's the great prize. But you see, to get there, you must have a proper God-given attitude. Look at verse 15 with me. "Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you." The word is sometimes translated, "have this mind in you." But the idea here is an attitude of mind, an inclination of heart, a basic disposition of loving Christ and desiring to follow Jesus Christ. An airplane has an attitude. You know this, don't you? Yeah, a couple of nods. And there's an instrument in the cockpit that indicates the attitude of the airplane, whether the nose is down or whether the nose is up or whether the plane is flying level. And when the pilot gets the plane into a lot of soup in the sky, he depends upon that instrument to tell him what the attitude of the aircraft is, because he can't tell what the attitude of the aircraft is without the instrumentation telling him. We too have instrumentation. We have the Bible. We have the Bible to tell us what the proper attitude in life ought to be. And to have a proper attitude in life, you have to be born again. You have to have a God-given attitude. Your heart has to be changed and inclined toward the good things of God. And Paul is perfectly aware that this is the case. And this is why he tells us, he connects the idea of attitude with the aim of Christ and knowing Christ. Those who are of an evil attitude, an evil disposition, do not want to follow Christ. They will not follow Christ because they do not desire to do so. They will not. And that's the problem, is it not? The inclination of their wills, the disposition of their hearts must be changed. And only God can do that. Only God can change your heart. Only God can change my heart and change your disposition, so that you have the proper attitude. And Paul says in our text, does he not, if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. Check your heart. Check your heart. Do you have a proper attitude toward Jesus Christ? Is it your desire to pursue Him? Are you making Jesus Christ your aim in life? Are you making knowing Jesus Christ your aim in life? This is what Paul is driving at in our text. And he tells us that making knowing Christ, the aim of life, is a sign of maturity. I think this is quite striking. Do you not? Look at verse 14 again. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, or mature, you could translate it, let us therefore, as many as are perfect or mature, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. The mature attitude looks at Christ and aims at knowing Christ, not only in this world, but in the life to come. Paul gives us the same idea in Colossians 3:2. Set your minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and not on things of this earth. Correct? Set your minds on things above, where Christ is. Aim to know Christ as He sits at the right hand of God the Father, resurrected. And aim your life in His direction, so that in the end you will be with Him. And the Apostle John helps us out. The Apostle John says, if you have the hope of being with Christ in the end, like this, what will you do? You will purify yourself, even as He is pure. It will not just be an intellectual operation in your desire and aim to be with Christ, but it will be a comprehensive life filled with that desire, displayed in how you live, how you speak, and what you do, you see. The mature Christian centers on Christ and uses the Bible as his or her guide to direct his or her life in all the activities and actions of life, to live for Him now, with the expectation of being with Him in the consummation. This, dear Christian, is the calling you have on your life. Again, our text. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The call of God. Every Christian has been called of God. Every Christian has the call of God on his or her life. You have the call of God on your life. And the call of God in context here is the call of God to aim your life to know Christ and to live for Jesus Christ. You may aim to be a student. And at this point in your life, you may be called to be a student here at RPTS. But that call to be a student is wrapped in the greater and more comprehensive call to make Christ and knowing Christ your aim. You may have a call to be a minister of the gospel. Good. I'm glad for that. And we're glad that you're here studying at RPTS. But your call to be a minister of the gospel is wrapped in that more comprehensive call to know Jesus Christ, and to make knowing Jesus Christ your aim. You may be called to be an engineer or someone who digs tunnels under a river and constructs tunnels. That's fine. But that call, that vocational call, is wrapped in the greater call, is it not? To know Jesus Christ. And so you have to remain focused. The runner who is focused on the finish line sees the finish line. Oh, there's peripheral vision, all right. And as the runner beats it down the track, he can sense and he can begin to see the other runners at his side. But he remains focused on the finish line. And the archer drawing back the bow and looking at the target, and especially that bullseye, can see other things that are going on around that target. But he remains focused on that bullseye. And so it is in your life, dear friends. There are many things that may consume you in school and in business. But remain focused. Remain focused on the preeminent upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Remain focused on Him and make knowing Jesus Christ your aim. Before the Biblical Counseling Center was completed here across the street, Dr. Scipione had his office on the second floor next to my office. And so we often had conversations. And some of you may know that he suffers from asthma. And I've had some asthma problems, too. And sometimes we would commiserate with regard to asthma difficulties, and he would complain a little bit about the medication and the after effects of the medication and what the medication was doing to his body. But then he would always come back and remind himself and remind me, the resurrection's coming, and we'll have new bodies. And will be with Christ. He'd always come back to that. Because he was focused on knowing Christ. And he is focused on knowing Jesus Christ. This was Paul's aim. This is the point of the text which is before you. Make knowing Jesus Christ your aim. Let's pray again. Father, and I thank you for your word. And I thank you for this text. Thank you for who you are and how you love us and care for us. And we thank you that you desire us to know you and to know your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray together, Father, that as a company and as individuals, we would make it our aim to know Christ and to know Him better. Forgive us where this is not the case. Reorient our thinking. Reestablish us on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. And work in our hearts that disposition and attitude and desire to know Christ would always be present, and that in the end we will come to glory and be able to bask in the sunshine of His grace. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the only Lord and Savior. Amen.